A couple of weeks ago, University of Illinois psychology professor Daniel Simmons co-authored an article in the Wall Street Journal that talked about the consistent and still evolving problem of email scammers, the most famous of which seemed to hail from Nigeria. Anyone with an email account has probably at some point been asked to help out some down-on-his-luck member of a royal family needing only a bank account number to move large sums of cash out of his troubled country. The conventional wisdom on these scams is that they are so ham-handed they cannot possibly work on any but the most gullible. Which, according to a computer security expert Simmons quotes, is precisely the point. A more plausible scam would elicit a ton of responses from potential marks, meaning that scammers would have to spend a lot more time sifting through them just to hit the few that might eventually pay off. On the other hand, the comparatively small number of people who initially respond positively to what most people recognize as an obvious scam will be more likely to eventually pony up some dough. In short, these scammers purposely target with their scenarios only the most gullible. Well, those people and another discrete group profiled in a related journal article the same week. Lawyers. A Nigerian man living in Toronto is said to be behind a series of schemes that duped some 40 lawyers out of more than $30 million. He has been indicted in federal court on a number of counts related to these scams. As with other email scenarios, the lawyer-based ones rely on an American with a bank account who will, with the promise of compensation, wire funds to a foreign account. The first example listed in the federal indictment went like this. In August 2008, a man representing himself as Wang Chung contacted a Pennsylvania attorney via email, asking for representation involving his Taiwanese company and some money it was owed. Americans over the age of 35 and other astute listeners of the Flashback Cafe will remember Wang Chung as both the name of a minor 80s band and the most memorable lyric in their biggest hit. This, apparently, did not raise any alarms with the attorney, nor did the fact that a shade over $50,000 seemed to be about to fall into his lap for doing not very much work. He was sent what turned out to be a fraudulent $298,000 Citibank check, deposited it, and, after it apparently cleared, wired some $244,000 to a Korean bank. Just another week's work for a sole, or is it solo, practitioner in South Central Pennsylvania. Another scheme involved an attorney at an Alabama firm. He was asked via email to represent a Japanese company in collecting some North American debts. When the law firm was sent a Citibank check from one of these supposed debtors, the lawyer called the phone number on the check to verify its authenticity, a phone call, of course, answered by one of the Confederates, then took some $55,000 off the top and wired $180,000 to a Korean bank. So why is it so easy to dupe lawyers? Well, it isn't. Many more people avoided this scheme altogether than fell for it. But even those that eventually wired money to a foreign account should not be considered suckers so much as victims of a complex scheme that understands the nature of modern law work, particularly for small firms. Because their websites or other online referrals generate a great deal of their traffic, small firms do a lot of business over email. Scammers outfitted with convincing forgeries and people who represent banks and insurance companies on the telephone are sometimes difficult to detect. Still, all of these schemes, from the most obvious to the most sophisticated, are premised on the same bewitching and age-old idea: getting a great deal of money for doing almost no work. I'm Travis McDade.